Psalm 42 is where we find our reading this morning. So if you have a Bible, turn with me there, please. Psalm 42, this is God's word for us this morning. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 43, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with a harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen. Let's just pause for a moment and pray together. Father God, we thank you that you're a God who is with us at all times. We thank you that we're able to sing your praise, but also to read words of lament. We thank you that we're able to lift our voices to thank you in prayer, but also to pray with our hearts breaking for so many others. And Lord, we thank you that through this life, you're the God who walks with us. And so as we look at these Psalms this morning, as we think about being forever hopeful, I just pray that you would speak to each and to every one of us in this place this morning. I pray that you would encourage our hearts. I pray that you would lift our eyes. And I pray that we would be able to say with the psalmist, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Lord, speak to our hearts now, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many times in life do things go from bad to worse? We think we're on a good track and then something happens and our hearts are troubled. We think that they can get no worse and then somehow or other that's exactly what happens. William Cowper, the English poet, knew something of that. Cowper found himself so deep in discouragement and despair that he tried to put an end to it all by drinking poison. But God graciously led someone to find him. His stomach was pumped and he was delivered. As soon as he recovered, the despairing writer hired a coach to take him down to the Thames River, where he intended to plunge himself into the dark and swirling waters. The driver of the coach, however, cottoned on to what he was about to do and would have none of it. He restrained Cowper, got him back into the coach and drove him home. Frustrated with that attempt, he found a knife in the privacy of his home and attempted to fall on it. And would you believe it? The blade broke as he fell. Still not deterred, He rigged up a rope in the basement, put his neck in the noose, and dropped into thin air. But someone found him. Someone found him before he strangled and took him down. He couldn't even kill himself. Finally, in the depth of sorrow, he drove himself to the Bible and to the book of Romans. And in the pages of that book, he found a passage which brought him to his knees and to faith in Jesus Christ. Years later, as a mature man of God, Cooper penned the great hymn. And if you're of a certain vintage, you'll probably know it as I say the words. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Cooper had a troubled heart. He felt empty, hopeless, and lonely. He was in despair and depressed, but he discovered God's care and God's promises. He found grace and mercy and love in the words of Scripture and in the Savior, Jesus Christ. How many times in life do we have troubled hearts? They might not be as bad as Cooper's, but we have our discouragements and our doubts. We find ourselves in despair and depressed. Things go from bad to worse, and we think, how much more can I take? Well, this morning I want to offer us a little bit of hope and encouragement from the Psalms. Over these summer months, we've been looking and considering the songs of summer. We've been encouraged and uplifted. We've been inspired and grateful as God has spoken to us about being forever thankful and forever there and forever awestruck and forever satisfied. These have been songs, by and large, of praise and of thanksgiving. Yet not all of the Psalms that the psalmist wrote are joyful and happy ones. There are many songs of lament, words penned when the psalmist was down and in despair, when he was downcast and depressed. Yet as we'll see today, no matter how low he got, he was never devoid of hope. He trusted in God, and despite the struggles of life, he made himself look to God even in the darkest moments, for he knew his hope was in God alone. So I want to spend a little bit of time looking at this Psalm of Lament this morning. Two Psalms, actually, aren't they? As our Bibles divided them. Somebody once described it as the fact of... this. You remember when they used to write the Bible out, it was all in little scrolls and different pages. Somebody gave it to a man in a carriage to take to the printers to do something with. And as he got to the printers, as he juggled along on the back of the horse-drawn carriage, it was almost as if the words got bundled about a bit and the verse numbers seemed to get put out of place. Well, sometimes even chapters seem to get broken up by our modern writers, but the words are still God's words. So these two Psalms actually should be together, 42 and 43. The theme carries through from one into the next one, and actually the refrain that you find in verse 5 and in verse 11 is carried on in verse 5 of chapter 43 as well. So one psalm for us to think on this morning. And this morning I want us to consider being forever hopeful. And as a little disclaimer at the start, I am well aware that there are many forms of depression, and I am by no means an expert at all. I do know that depression is a very complex condition that can be rooted in spiritual and emotional and mental and biological and physiological causes and any combination therein. And so if you struggle with depression this morning, I hope you are seeking professional medical help for it. There is nothing, no shame in admitting that we need some help sometimes. Okay, so I put that out there as a little bit of a disclaimer for you. And if you're suffering and you want somebody to talk to, then come and speak with me. Drop me an email, a text, a phone call during the week, and we'll meet up and we can talk together. As we consider this psalm, we see four pointers from the psalmist as to how he deals with his depression. His is a spiritual depression. His is a feeling low because of the circumstances that are around him. And we'll see themes here in our own lives, and so I hope we'll remember that despite the depths of our despair, we too can still hope in God. Let us be forever hopeful. The first five verses of Psalm 42 begin by the psalmist thirsting after God. And he does this because he feels empty and low. He's far from home, far from the sanctuary where he would praise his God. His enemies are mocking him because of it. Many consider David to be the author of this psalm. And the context then in which it is written is when David was forced to flee into the wilderness because his son Absalom was leading a rebellion against him. You can read all about that in 2 Samuel 15 and 16. We thought a little bit about that last week and the peace that David found during those days. But you know, his wilderness experience lasted so long that because of the length of time he was in the desert, he became depressed. He was in despair. David was removed from his throne. His life was threatened. His friends had bailed out on him. He was ridiculed and he was mocked. And he was miles away from the temple where he longed to be to worship God. David was piled with problems. He was on the run. He was alone and discouraged. This was his personal ground zero, if you like. He's been where some of us are today. He feels emptiness. And he longs for God. Verse 1, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with my God? When a deer is thirsty, I alluded to this earlier with the children, when a deer is thirsty, he will run full speed until he finds some water. And when he finally finds that water, he will stick his face into the cool stream, forgetting almost everything else that is around him. And this is unusual for a deer because they're normally very alert and very cautious animals. But when they're panting, they will do almost anything to quench that thirst that is within them. During drought conditions, a deer will alter their daily routine to make sure they can find water. Whenever a deer senses danger, it will run to a stream. And most hunters think that is because the deer is trying to avoid leaving a scent. The deer, however, seeks water for a different reason. When a deer is retreating from an enemy, it develops a tremendous thirst, fear, and physical strain of running create a strong desire for water. You've seen that yourself, haven't you? Well, even in your daily routine of trying to do a little bit of exercise, some of you do it a bit more than others, to be fair, looking around the room, but you are still awake, that's good. But when we run, when we exercise, we develop a thirst and we're desperate to get that water. The deer is the same. And so the psalmist is picturing himself a bit like a deer here that is on the run in desperate need of refreshment. He asks himself the question in verse 2, when can I go and meet with God? He wants to fill the void in his life by being in God's presence. He knows that only God can satisfy his longing. On the run, expending energy in fear, under physical and emotional strain. He wants the refreshment of just being with God. The psalmist feels so empty that he says in verse 3 that my tears have been my food day and night. Well, men say to me all day long, where is your God? He is, as he says in verse 4, pouring out his soul. He's letting us know how he feels. The trouble with us sometimes is we try and keep all that within, don't we? We try and keep it to ourselves, our biggest struggles, our deepest despair. And we try and keep it in for a whole variety of reasons. And that's part of the illness of depression as well. But friends, the best thing we can ever do is turn to somebody and tell them how we're feeling. It will help us. No end. They can pray for us. They can support us. They can encourage us. And I know it's hard and I know that's difficult. The psalmist pours out his heart to let us know how he actually feels. He's empty, and he thirsts for God. And he thirsts for God because he remembers the times he was with God's people on their way to God's house. It used to be, you and I come in our own cars, don't we? Or we wander across the road on our own. Back in those days, the people would all gather to go up to Jerusalem together. I wonder what it would look like some days if we actually gathered together to walk to church. If we parked our cars, Bridge of Allen, somewhere, for want of a better place. And we walked to church, remembering who God was as we walked together, singing his praise as we went along the way. How ready would we be for worship if we did that Sunday by Sunday? I've just given myself a whole set of new ideas there. You'll be wishing that I forget most of them afterwards. David went with God's people together to God's house. Verse 4, he says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." So he's pouring out his soul. He's saying how he's feeling and how much of a struggle he is in. And as he pours out his soul, he remembers what? "How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." David remembers the good times, and he longs for them again. He has a thirst for God. And the call is for us to thirst for God too, because there are so many times in our lives when we feel that emptiness. There are times in our lives when we feel empty and far from God. Times when we feel down and discouraged. Times when we remember the spiritual highs we once had. And yes, simply times when we remember being with God's people. And now life is a struggle. Our spiritual life is dry and barren. And you don't need to be away from church for that to be the case. I think there are people in here this morning who feel depressed and downhearted and empty and far from God. Friend, I want to encourage you today to see your emptiness and to face up to it. And that's hard, okay? I get that. I know that. Face up to your emptiness. We can only begin to deal with the problem when we face it, when we name it, and when we own it. You feel emptiness because you are far from God. He is not far from you. I want you to grasp that this morning. He is not far from you. Thirst for him, long after him, desire to be found in him once more. Read his word, pray to him, call on him to satisfy that thirst in your life. The psalmist was forever hopeful because he remembered God and he thirsted after him. He knew God could meet that need and fill his life again. Verse 5, he talks to himself. Most people think you're crazy if you talk to yourself, but actually there are times in your life when that is a very good thing to do. And the psalmist knew that. He talks to himself and he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Even in despair, even in those dark moments, the psalmist knows he's put his trust and his hope in God, and he is trying to stir himself up to remember his God. This is the first cycle of hope and lament as we go through. The psalmist feels empty, so he thirsts after the only one who can help. His focus is on God. The second cycle of lament and hope comes in verses 6 to 8. We see the psalmist also hope in God. And he does this because he feels hopeless. He's cried out in verse 5, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Why so disturbed? Why so downcast? Because he's far from home. His enemies are mocking him. He's living in fear of his life. He recognizes in verse 6 that he's far away. He says, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." He's far away from the place he calls home, from the place he wants to be. The psalmist is trying to lift his eyes, trying his best to lift his eyes from his situation to his Savior. You know, I said last week that you might not be able to rejoice in your situation, but you can always rejoice in your Savior. You can. Look up. Trouble with our despair, the trouble with our depression, the trouble with our feeling low is so often that we feel like we cannot see anything but darkness. We see no way out. And the reasons for that is we always seem to look down our problems, don't we? The psalmist there in verse 5 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" He's looking within rather than looking without. He's looking down rather than looking up. And that's a challenge for us, the encouragement for us. It's not easy. But we have to try to lift our eyes towards our God, or we will simply descend further and further and further into that darkness and that gloom and that despair. It was getting worse for the psalmist here. He feels hopeless. Verse 7, "Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me." Very vivid imagery here as he calls to mind an ancient Near Eastern symbol of the powers of chaos and evil crashing in upon him. Spurgeon. Spurgeon's a great man for the Psalms, by the way. The Treasury of David, it's called. I encourage you to go and find a copy, buy a copy. You'll find it for free online somewhere as well, actually. The Treasury of David. Spurgeon writes of these words. He says, "His woes were incessant and overwhelming. Billow followed billow. One sea echoed the roaring of another. Bodily pain aroused mental fear. Satanic suggestions chimed in with mistrustful forebodings. Outward tribulation thundered in awful harmony with inward anguish. His soul seemed drowned as in a universal deluge of trouble. That's how the psalmist felt. It's all getting progressively worse for him. In fact, if we look back and then further ahead in this psalm, you'll see it. In verse 2, he says, I can't get to God. Verse 9, he says, God has forgotten me. By the time you get to verse 2 of Psalm 43, he says, God's rejected me or God's abandoned me. What possible hope is there? The psalmist, though in lament, is not in despair. He turns his mind from the disease to the cure, from anguish to remembrance, deliberately recalling to mind God's faithfulness and God's grace and God's covenant promises. He forces himself to think of realities other than his troubles. Verse 8, by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He remembers not only the things God has done, he remembers God himself. He speaks in verse 7 there of your waterfalls, your waves, and your breakers. They're God's. God made them. The powers of chaos, the powers of trouble and evil that threaten David's life are not beyond God's sovereign control. They must all submit to the overarching sovereignty and lordship of God. God made them and controls them. He need not fear. And friend, if you feel hopeless and in a hopeless situation today, then I want to encourage you to remember God. Remember who he is. Remember what he has done in the past. What he's done in the past, he can do again and even more beside. Read the scriptures, see who he is, what he has done. Sing songs and hymns that speak of his goodness and his faithfulness. And sometimes, even in those darkest moments, the only thing we can do is actually to sing. And if you've got the right songs in your mind, then they are wonderful things to draw on and to remember. One of the great privileges of sitting with folks who are on their deathbeds, unable to converse with you in any shape or form, is to hold their hand, to read the scriptures, and at times simply just to sing God to them. Sing songs of praise to God. I sat with Barbara on Friday for half an hour, singing old children's choruses that she knew and loved. Why? Because I'm a child. Perhaps, probably, in the midst of that. But actually, the truths that that picture was painting in those moments for her, reminding her of a God that loved her, reminding her of a God who cared for her, reminding her of a home that she had in glory land. And your job afterwards is trying to work out what songs I was singing, by the way. But sometimes, in our darkest moments, when we can't do anything else, sometimes the only thing to do is to sing some of those songs that are tucked away that remind us of our God, that we might once again, as the psalmist says, put our hope in him. We need to hope in God, because life at times is hopeless. The third cycle of lament and hope comes towards the end of Psalm 42 and finishes it off for us. Here the psalmist says we need to pray to God. And he does that because he feels alone and he experiences loneliness. Verse 8 finished by saying a prayer to the God of my life. Verse 9 says, I say to God, my rock. He's talking to God here. He recognizes he can call out to God. Prayer is such a privilege. And it doesn't matter what state you're in life, whether you're on the highest mountaintop experience or whether you're in the deepest pit of life, you can pray. We all know the hymn. We're talking about singing songs to ourselves, aren't we? We all know the hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So pray. Pray often. Pray long prayers. Pray short prayers. Just pray. The psalmist is feeling lonely. He's alone and he's forgotten, and yet he prays to God. He asks where God is and why he's still suffering. Why his suffering goes on and on. Verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my bones taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? And I think it's because he feels alone that he wants to pray. He doesn't want to endure this on his own. He needs help. He wants company. And he knows God. He describes God as God, my rock. And that's because there's history there. He has a relationship with God, and he's able to think back to better times. He recognizes that God is firm, and God is stable, and God is dependable. He's spoken there of the waves breaking over him, but he cries out to God, my rock, something firm to cling to as he's swept off his feet and overwhelmed by the wind and the waves. Everything else might be changing around him, but the Lord was still his rock, stable, strong, unchanging. Friend, depression and circumstances can make you feel all alone, but you're not alone. You are not alone. God is there with you. He is your rock, strong and mighty to save, stable, secure, unchanging. Cling to him, call out to him, pray to God because we feel loneliness. And the psalmist was forever hopeful because he remembered God and prayed to him. He knew God could meet that need and his life once more. That he could fill his life afresh. And so he says for the second time in verse 11, he's challenging himself, he's talking to himself, he's saying to himself, what are you playing at? Look up. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God, even in despair. This psalmist has put his trust and his hope in God, and he's trying to do whatever he can to gee himself up to remember God, because he knows if he remembers God, there's hope to cling to. The fourth and final lament comes in Psalm 43, the remainder of this kind of one psalm, as I would contend this morning. And here the psalmist calls for us to count on God. He says that to himself because he needs confidence. And sometimes we need that same confidence in our lives. We are battered and bruised. We are downcast and in despair. We feel hopeless and we feel helpless. We feel lost and we feel lonely. And sometimes we just need that boost. We need that confidence that God is there. And the psalmist knew he could count on him. He calls out for God to vindicate him and to rescue him from his enemies. Verse 1, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. He feels under pressure. He feels as if his enemies have almost crushed him and won. And so he calls out to God to save him. He calls on God to give him the strength he needs to see the day ahead, to keep looking ahead, to keep moving on. Verse 2 seems to be a little bit of a cry of doubt in the midst. Where are you, God? Why have you rejected me? Quite literally, it means, why have you abandoned me? His confidence comes then as he looks back and then as he looks forward. He can count on God because of all God has done in the past. And in verse 3 of Psalm 43, he remembers one of the defining moments in the life of his forefathers, or the children of Israel. He remembers back to the pillar of cloud and of fire that God used to lead Israel from Egypt into the promised land. And because of that, David the psalmist has confidence that the same light and truth, that with the same light and truth, God would help him return to Jerusalem. Verse 4, he says, not simply back for his own good, but back to praise God once more. The psalmist says, you can count on God. And that's seen in the last verse, which is that repeated refrain again, isn't it? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why those so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He knows that God is his only hope. And he's the confidence to know that God is dependable and God is faithful. God will not let him go. God will carry him home. Friend, whatever is going on in your life just now, whatever is getting you down, I just want to assure you that it cannot keep you down. We have a God we can depend upon and count on. He will see you through. It might take time, but he will carry you home. And ultimately, of course, he will carry you home to your true home, your eternal home in heaven. We can count on God because we need confidence. Brothers and sisters, life is not always a smooth ride. There are ups and there are downs. In fact, even as we've looked at the psalm, I think there are probably ups and downs that you can see in this psalmist's life. There are times when we feel a real sense of emptiness in our lives. I want to encourage you in those moments to thirst for God. There are times when we feel hopeless. Let me encourage you to hope in God at that point. There are times when we will be lonely. Let me remind you to pray to God right then. And there are times when we need confidence just to see the day through. Let me challenge you to count on God in those times. And sometimes, as I've said already, sometimes when despair and depression sets in, we have to talk to ourselves. The psalmist talks to himself three times here. He says, "Why are you downcast? Why are you disturbed?" He's trying to gee himself up to look to God. And he says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." He's trying to lift his eyes to God. His hope is in God alone. Friends, our hope. You can try and put it in so many things in this world, but they will all let you down. The one true, stable, dependable, unchanging one is God my rock. So next time you're feeling down, the next time you're feeling depressed, disturbed, and despair, then I want to encourage you to talk to yourself and to lift your eyes to your God. We can be forever hopeful because God is there. And he wants to be with you. He wants to carry you through. Oh, you trust in him. Oh, you have the faith that the psalmist had to put your hope and your trust in God alone. Let's pray together. Father God, we so often come to this point in our service encouraged and overjoyed at something you've taught us or challenged by something you've said. And this morning we come, Father God, just recognizing that we can trust in you and we can hope in you. Even in the toughest moments of our lives, even in those moments of despair, of darkness, of gloom, Lord, that we can trust in you. So Father God, I pray for the strength and courage for all of us in this room. I pray that we would all have the strength and the courage when we are in despair to lift our eyes to you. For Lord, only in you can we find the hope that we need. You are our rock. And Lord, I pray particularly for anybody in this place who is in that place of despair this morning. Father God, may they look to you. May they cling to you. Father God, hear our prayers this morning for ourselves. Thank you for your word that offers just that little bit of hope and encouragement to us. And Lord, help us to be like the psalmist who put his trust in you alone. Lord, help us to cling to you. Help us to look to you. Help us to trust in you at all times. Father God, this week, help us to apply this word to our lives individually. And Lord, help us not to go through this alone. Be our strength. Be our comfort. Be our peace. Be our hope, we ask. As we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to conclude.